You know us here at Robin Hood Radio. It's that most wonderful time of the year, which is every opportunity we get to talk to Arthur Schwartz, food maven, food maverick, food guy.
I like maven.
Arthur, hi.
I like, you know, the maven means expert.
I understand.
In Yiddish,
but,
as you well know, but not everybody in
that's what I was going to say.
No,
so, but people know
and
maverick is
I came up
good.
With this food maven name for my website in 1998.
Right.
Because at that time, can't believe 26 years ago, there was actually a computer maven magazine. And I thought, well, if the computer guys know what the word maven means, I can use it, food maven. So that's where that happened. I mean, whatever. So it is Passover. As of sundown Monday, the first Seder is held. And the Seder is the ritual meal. It's the reading of the whole story of Passover, which I'm not going to get into, and in a book called the Haggadah, and in very observant or even moderately observant households, families, there's a Seder on the first night and on the second night. I understand that in some Reformed observance, they only do one night of Seder. Then you still have to observe all the dietary rules of Passover for a whole week. And so it's matzah time. I have to laugh about this because I always have some matzah in the house in one form or another, meaning I still have matzah meal in a canister in the closet. Matzah and matzah meal are sort of inert. So I sort of make Passover midweek meals sometimes in the middle of the year. I always think February is a good time to use up your matzah from the previous April.
Right. It lasts, though, right?
It lasts that long, right. The only thing that lasts longer than matzah, I think this is not a joke, I think this is actual, is pasta. And I laughed the other day with Joan London. You know who Joan London is,
yeah.
Right? So Joan London has been married to her second husband for 24 years already, a long time. And the first husband, who I understand looked a lot like me, she divorced in, I'm not going to remember, but it was in the 90s. And just after she announced that she was getting divorced, I was on her morning show. And I had a line as I was promoting my book, What to Cook When You Think There's Nothing in the House to Eat. And, of course, one of the things is pasta. And I had this line saying, oh, pasta lasts longer than most marriages. And she glared at me. And it wasn't until then I remembered, oh, my God, she's getting a divorce.
And his name was Michael Krauss.
The first husband?
The first husband was Michael Krauss, and that was somebody that I knew.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Did he look like me?
He
was a husky Jewish guy.
You know how people don't have eyes?
If
people don't have eyes, then yeah, he looks like you.
Yeah, okay. Oh. Well, anyway, Joan London is still active and married now to the second guy.
Jeff Connigsburg,
years.
I think. Something like
but
that.
So anyway, the only thing that lasts longer than pasta is matzah. So matzah brei is a dish that I love whether it is Passover or not. But certainly when I was living with my parents, we only ate it on Passover. And my father loved matzah brei, so we had it for dinner at least twice during the week, maybe even more. And it may be maybe one of the weekend days of the holiday we had it for breakfast. What is matzah brei? Matzah brei is moistened matzah, then made either into a flat omelet, which is not what I do, or scrambled eggs, and that's what I do. And the result of mine is that the matzah tastes like egg noodles. Because you moisten them and mix them with egg. And I don't like the pancake kind because I always found it, I always found it dry when I had it at a friend's house. And two, my mother never made it that way. So, and for us, it was always made with butter. I mean, you weren't eating meat during the week unless you had a leftover brisket dinner. So you could have butter. You know, keeping dairy and meat separate. So here's what I do for a good matzah brei. And by the way, I have actually taught matzah brei to friends who claim their matzah brei is gross. So what I do is I break up the matzah into, I would say they're inch and a half, no more than 2 inch, not even that's too big, pieces, just by hand breaking it. And that's fun, I think, to break up a lot of matzah. And you and break it into a colander. How many boards of matzah you use depends on how many people are eating. So let's say, let's start out with 2 boards of matzah. Let's make it 3 boards of matzah. Break it up, put it in the colander, and then bring an entire tea kettle worth of water to the boil. And slowly pour your boiling water over the matzah in the colander. Some people put the matzah in boiling water. I feel it gets too soft then. I want it to be medium soft. But I do this slowly, and you'll see the matzah absorbs quite a bit of water, and one kettle fill, which is usually 2 liters, is enough for 3 or 4 pieces of matzah, squares of matzah. By the way, I often have what's called shmura matzah, which is a handmade, very highly observed, meaning it follows every letter of the law for Passover, kind of matzah. And most people don't like shmura matzah for its own sake, but I have to say, it makes a superior matzah brei. So if you can get your hands on some shmura, besides it being very attractive because there are these handmade rounds of matzah, a little burned on the edges maybe, and I like the burn on the edges part of my matzah brei. So I would, let's say, for 3 matzah boards, regular square matzah boards, I would use 6 eggs. It may not be quite enough. You might want to make 8 eggs. This is at least enough for 4 people. So 8 eggs is not too many. It's 2 eggs per person. Scramble the eggs apart from the matzah. Put the wet matzah in with the eggs and stir it around. Salt and pepper, of course, and in a sizable skillet, because you have quite a lot of stuff here now, in a large skillet, melt a nice big hunk of butter, I don't know, for all that egg and 8 eggs, and 6 or 8 eggs and matzah. I would say you're going to need at least 2 tablespoons of butter. If you like, if you're being indulgent, as I sometimes am with butter, I would put even 3 tablespoons of butter in. Anyway, get it bubbling, the butter, and then pour in your matzah brei mixture and let it start setting. As it sets, push the edges to the middle, and eventually you'll be able to flip it over a little bit. You want big clumps of matzah and egg, not little bitties of either, so don't stir it too much. You can flip it over, you can push it around. A rubber spatula, you know, silicone spatula helps with this. I always use a nonstick pan when I'm making anything with eggs like this. So if you don't have a nonstick pan, you don't believe in nonstick pans, then you can use something metal. But I use either wood or silicone. And that's it. That's the whole deal. It's scrambled eggs with wet matzah. I don't know, somehow it comes out being really delicious. Oh, butter helps. Salt and pepper. My father always put a lot of pepper on his. So that's one of the, I would say, a main feature for in this household for Passover. We look forward to eating matzah brei, and as I say, I always have some left over from the holiday, and I'll do it in the middle of the winter. You get stuck in the house with snow, nothing like a matzah brei. Another thing that is made all week, by the way, if you are super observant Jewish, you don't eat moistened matzah until the last 2 days of Passover. You're not supposed to moisten matzah because, and it's made, you know, matzah has to be mixed and get into the oven within, I think it's 18 minutes, maybe it's even less, because it's figured a fermentation will start after that. You know, it's like how you make sourdough. But believe it or not, the fermentation starts in minutes. So you must get it into the oven right away. And then after that, you don't want to moisten it. Again, it might ferment. I think this is the thinking, of, if there is any thinking behind the Orthodox. I mean, a lot of Orthodox Jewish rules are, you know, just follow it. Just take my word, says the rabbi. So so matzah balls, for instance, are not made in uber-Orthodox households until the very end of the holiday. Same thing with matzah brei. Same thing with, perhaps, nowadays, the most popular matzah recipe ever is Marcy Goldman's, and I'm going to put her name to it, matzah candy, caramelized, chocolate-coated, nut-garnished candy. I say Marcy Goldman. Marcy Goldman has a website for a very long time. I think it's called Better Baking, one word, betterbaking.com. I recommend it to everybody. She's a master baker, and she lives in Toronto, or is it Montreal? But she's Canadian. And she took what I actually saw the Pioneer Lady make a few years ago, this candy you make with saltine crackers. And Marcy had the idea, if you can make it with saltine crackers, why not make it with matzah? And what she does is she makes a caramel. You line a sheet pan. I'm not going to give the exact recipe. You can find this everywhere online. Not everybody is crediting Marcy Goldman. I see, by the way, her website's been there since 1997, so we're talking, 25 years? This was about 25 years ago that she came up with this idea. And in 25 years, you can find this recipe everywhere, but not credited to Marcy, although Melissa Clark, the New York Times food writer, recently ran this recipe on the Times cooking website, and she did said it was adapted from Marcy Goldman. Well, anyway, Marcy Goldman is the one who popularized it. And after you bake these sheets of matzah with a brown sugar caramel on top, you then spread chocolate on top of the hot caramel, melting it, having a layer of chocolate on top of the caramel. And then you can first garnish it with whatever you feel like garnishing it with, like, you know, chopped nuts. I know somebody who puts M&Ms on top. That's a little gilding the lily, I would say, but she's got little kids who don't even want to touch the thing without the M&Ms. So, of course, they'll grow up eating this with M&Ms. And they'll make it when they're adults for their children with M&Ms. So see how these things evolve. Anyway, another thing that I make during the week of Passover. By the way, take a look at Marcy, if you're a baker, at Marcy Goldman's website, because it's fantastic. And don't go to the website of the PhD psychologist. I'm not sure she knows how to bake. This is another Marcy Goldman. I make matzah meal pancakes. These are nostalgic for me, besides delicious, because my father closed his business at 7 o'clock, even if it was a holiday. And so we had to start our Seder. Well, you know, you're not supposed to start the Seder until after sundown.
Right, serious and it's being done by, I shouldn't say serious, but my friend's father was a rabbi, so we didn't start till after sundown, and it didn't end until, I don't know, the next day.
Oh, right, exactly.
Yeah.
Let me say, my downstairs neighbors here, who are this year, I don't want to say they're old because they're way more active than I am, even though they're older. But she, the wife, I'm not going to mention names here. She doesn't want to cook anymore. So, and they have a nice sized family. They have two children with a number of grandchildren. And so they're going to go to an Airbnb in the Catskills for the holiday, which apparently they actually, you know, the old Borscht Belt, Marshall would get a kick out of this, now full of kosher B&Bs. Anyway, one of the things that I love to make any time of year is matzah meal pancakes. And the nostalgia comes in because my father closes his business at 7 o'clock. Meaning the grandchildren and possibly my uncle and aunt and other people who were coming to the Seder, were already hungry. And we knew, the way my grandfather conducted the Seder, that we wouldn't get to eat until 9:30. So my grandmother would make matzah meal pancakes to hold us over until we actually got our, what they call in the Haggadah, the festive meal.
Right.
So she made matzo meal pancakes. I remember the table was all set already, but we didn't get to sit at it. They would set up a bridge table for the grandchildren.
Move out of Brooklyn or Buffalo, and it's called a card table. But it was always called a bridge. That's right. Yeah.
What did I call it?
A card table.
What else do you call it?
You just said a bridge table.
Oh, bridge table. Oh, that just came out. I don't know where that
came from.
I don't know.
Yeah.
We own a card table that we play cards at.
Remember the ones that you used to, the TV dinner trays, except that they were really stable and, you know, like with,
Anyway, I have this recollection of the card table or the bridge table, whatever you're calling it, the folding table.
Right.
It was, you know, the kitchen had linoleum flooring, and the dining room had carpeting, and the table would rock because half of it was on the legs were on the linoleum, and half of it were on the wasn't level. So anyway, I happened to stop. And also my father, my grandfather, who did take off a half a day on the Seder nights, my grandfather would drive over to my father's business and bring him a snack of matzo meal pancakes. I never wanted to eat those. I was sure they were soggy. And my father said, yes, they are soggy, but they're still delicious. So I have a real nostalgia for matzo meal pancakes. You can call them latkes if you want. They're a kind of, I mean, latkes just means pancake. So they're not potato latkes, they're matzo meal and they're so easy. This will make like 8 or 10 pancakes, which, I don't know, Bob and I can down very easily. So you judge. 3 eggs, you beat them with a fork, then beat in 3/4 cup of cold water, 1 teaspoon of salt, and only if you like sweet stuff, which I don't in this case, you can put a little sugar in there, 1 or 2 tablespoons of sugar, and then beat in 1/2 cup of matzo meal. Matzo meal is finely ground matzo. It's not matzo cake flour, which is even powder, which is powdery like flour. So you want to get cake matzo meal, and matzo meal, at least where I live in Brooklyn, is sold all year long. However, everybody, I think, even in a non-Jewish area, at this point time of the year, has a box of matzo meal on the shelf with the other Passover goods. That's it. I like to let the batter stand for a few minutes, and then, of course, as even with regular pancakes, the first one is a test pancake. I mean, for Passover, you're allowed to use grapeseed oil. There are other acceptable Passover oils. I think avocado oil is very much allowed. Of course, you could always use butter. You can always use schmaltz if you happen to have some chicken fat. I prefer these with oil, actually.
Can I just say that avocado oil with if you take Brussels sprouts and saute them in avocado oil, it is transformative. Transportive.
Really?
It's amazing.
Do you have the Brussels sprouts?
You have quarter that you yes.
You cut them up.
You cut them up and you season them and you do avocado oil and perhaps.
Uh-huh. I don't know.
I know.
Do you taste any?
That's why I'm mentioning this. Anything?
Do you taste any avocado when you use avocado oil?
Not really.
I don't either, but Bob claims he does. And he doesn't like it, so
you know,
I have snuck
like
it in here or there.
The kids' vegetables in the marinara, you know, in the bolognese. Try it.
I have to buy a bottle of avocado oil to try it. So we'll see. We'll see. I do like grapeseed oil, though. You're not allowed to use peanut oil for Passover because peanuts are a legume, and in most but not all observances, legumes are not allowed. In the Ashkenazi world, the Eastern European world, Central European world, they don't use peanut oil. Sephardim, I think, can use if they want peanut oil. I happen to like peanut oil. Anyway, matzo meal pancakes. You can let the batter stand a few minutes, at which point, you, and then test one in the oil. The oil, they should bubble as soon as they hit the oil. The way I tell if it's ready, this is a real old Italian lady way, is put the handle, the end of the handle of a wooden spoon in the oil, and if bubbles form around the wooden handle, it's ready.
Right.
If it doesn't, wait another minute or two. Anyway, you can always thin this out with a little bit more water. I don't think you're going to have to thicken it, but if you did, you can always add a little bit more matzo meal. But probably more likely you're going to have to thin it. And they're delicious, just as they are for me. My cousins, who always liked sweets more than I did, like to sprinkle granulated sugar on the top. Some people put jam on the top, and I could see eating a few of these with sour cream or applesauce, and then the last one or two with jam as a dessert. I mean, I could make a meal out of these easy. Anyway.
Yeah.
So I look forward to the restrictions of Passover because there are so many things that I don't eat during the year. For instance, oh, here's one. Cottage cheese kremslach. Now, kremslach are just, they're a kind of matzo meal pancake. But in this case, you use cottage cheese in the batter, which makes for a really moist and thicker than normal matzo meal. I like them. And for that, I would use 4 eggs, a cup of cottage cheese, and you go with the whole milk, 4% fat cottage cheese. Don't try to save 10 calories. But
no. Plus
no, that's not
weird.
Worth it.
I don't know,
you're probably going to need a little milk. Then I don't care if that's low fat or not. It's just a liquid. A good teaspoon of salt, if you want a little sugar. And for 4 eggs and a cup of cottage cheese, I would use a full cup of matzo meal. Beat that in and let it stand a few minutes. Because you know what happens is that as it stands, the matzo meal absorbs moisture. And in fact, you may have to add a little bit more milk. You could add to this as much as a quarter of a cup or 5 tablespoons of milk to get it to the right consistency. And then try one. The same oil, butter, or don't use schmaltz for this. Butter is the best. It's a dairy item because it's got cottage cheese in it. Butter belongs. The flavor of butter belongs. And use an ample amount of butter. Again, in a nonstick pan. Pancakes. You could put maple syrup on these, I suppose. I don't know if it's kosher for Passover, maple syrup. Probably is. It's kosher for Passover everything now.
Kosher for
Joan Nathan pointed out, as some of us already knew, that technically you can actually put baking powder in your matzo balls if you want a very light matzo ball. And I... there's a recipe in Arthur Schwartz's Jewish Home Cooking from Abe Liebewald, the founder, original
right.
owner of...
Second Avenue Deli?
Second Avenue Deli. And Abe always used to use baking powder in his matzo balls. And I said to him once, you know, how can you do that? It's not kosher for Passover. Well, now there is kosher for Passover baking powder, believe it or not. But Abe's point was, we closed for Passover.
we don't
kosher the restaurant. We just close for Passover. So if it's not Passover, we can use
sort of like a card table or a bridge table or a mahjong table.
But anyway, matzo balls become at least light matzo balls become almost foolproof if you follow Abe's recipe because I like a light matzo ball. We went through this last week, but. I prefer light to dense. I won't say heavy. Some people say lead.
Let's just say non-light, okay? or we could just say, like closing for Passover, we could just say matzo ball. A matzo ball has to be light, and I say this in fond honor of Marshall, who could make, because of you know the aunt's cook-off, just the most phenomenal light matzo balls. The problem is that if you get used to a light matzo ball and somebody else lovingly brings you another matzo ball and you can, you know, remember how hard Super Bowls were? You know, you can bounce it. it's very hard to be as gracious as your Nana raised you to be.
I get it. So anyway, so it's passed.
All right, so...
This who shall pass over.
And so what do you say? Did you say good Passover? What do you say? What is the...
I always said Zisen Passover, sweet Passover.
Sweet Passover. Okay.
Zisen. I don't know what people are saying these days. You know, like, nothing that I would have said counts anymore. Because, you know, I'm old-fashioned. I'm old.
Happens to all of us. It's expected as
great.
A day of activity and enjoyment.
As they always said, better than the alternative, you know.
So true.
Yeah,
so true.
Still true, right.
All right, so I'm going to say good Passover, because that, I believe, is what... you said good Shabbos.
Good Passover. Easy... No, I don't know.
Right.
Passover is easy.
You can say sweet.
Easy
say good.
Part comes for Yom Kippur, when you... Easy fast.
Yeah.
Have an easy fast.
This is not a fast holiday. This has an E in it.
Oh, I don't understand.
As in feast.
Oh, feast. Yeah, this is not a fast. This is a
feast
holiday.
This is not a fast holiday.
Yeah, a lot of my grandmother would spend literally a couple of weeks preparing for Passover, which is why after Passover she normally would have a heart attack. And now I understand that effort could induce some bad things. I do remember, this is true, this is not a joke, but I do remember my grandmother once having a heart attack after her applesauce made in a pressure cooker exploded, and she had to get up on a ladder to clean the ceiling. And then after that, she got sick.
Yeah. I can understand. I'm sure.
I don't, you know, my joke is, how many Jewish men does it take to change a light bulb? None. We call the super.
Yes.
You know what a super is, right? The man who takes the maintenance chief of my building.
Everybody, anybody who is from a certain time and, let's call it, culture, knows what a super is. But anybody who isn't is like, huh? What?
Well, you know, if you live in the country, you might not have ever.
Well, I understand, but then you wouldn't have had the privilege of Rudy Radikovich.
I'm sorry, I missed that.
Then you would not have had the privilege of Rudy Radikovich.
Ah, yes.
And Rudy Radikovich was our
first. Don't get me started on him.
And my brother and I was like, what is it? Rudy? I mean, how alluring is the name Rudy Radikovich? Like, when you're 8. It's good.
All right, my dear.
All right. So, good Passover, or sweet Passover, or...
Sweet Passover, or whatever it is.
Asta until next week, or...
Then we're back to pasta.
No, why not? Or Kentucky Derby food. Pasta and...
You know, it's funny you should mention. I was tempted this morning, in fact, to get the ingredients anyway, to make a Brown's hot... What is it called? Something hot. And it was invented at Brown's Hotel in Louisville, and it's basically an open turkey sandwich with Mornay sauce.
Ooh. We can look into that and then talk about Woodford Reserve and mint juleps, of course, which is so... But never mind.
Yeah. All right, my dear.
All right.
All right, everybody.
All right, everybody.
Have a Zisen Pesach.
That too. Arthur Schwartz, the food maven on Robin Hood Radio. Thank you very much.